In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Last summer, at about this time, I was at Shrinemont. I was helping to run summer camp for grown-ups. Did you even know there was such a thing at Shrinemont? If you don't know about it, Shrinemont is the diocesan cathedral shrine. It's a retreat center and a campgrounds in the mountains of Northwest Virginia. I had a very busy weekend, but I finally got a little time for myself, and I decided to go for a restorative hike in the woods. Now, I didn't have enough time to do the whole North Mountain hike, but before I decided to go up to the cross instead, I looked up the path and I thought how beautiful it was. It's narrower, it's woodier, it's a little more rustic. It feels like really being in the wilderness. So I decided that was what I was going to do, and I set my mind on it. I had about an hour before I needed to get back. It's not enough time. But I figured I could set a watch for 30 minutes and go as far as I could on this wonderful hike. I started charging right up that trail. My feet were thudding along, and I was making seriously good pace, and I was completely focused on every step I took. After about 30 minutes, I realized that I hadn't enjoyed my time in the woods at all. I had barely even noticed that I was in the woods. I had just been racing up the trail against my own self-imposed clock. I wasn't feeling better. I wasn't less anxious, and I wasn't rejuvenated in the slightest. I was just trying to get as far as I possibly could along that trail before I needed to turn around and go back to work. I had been hiking without any spirit at all. I might as well have been hiking up an inclined treadmill at the gym. I stopped and I looked around, and about 50 yards up the ridge on my left was this beautiful clearing with the sun beaming down into it in the middle of the woods. And so I gave up on my goal of seeing how far along I could get, and I carefully, slowly made my way up that path and sat down in the clearing on a tree. Ever so slowly, the forest came alive around me. All those teeny tiny noises I couldn't hear while I was pounding and bounding up the path to my goal. I hadn't even seen the things that were there in front of me. And as I sat there, I began to notice the gray-green of the lichen, the different leaves, and all the variety of trees around me. I was, in fact, surrounded by mountain laurels that had bloomed and I hadn't even seen in my rush. A lizard wriggled across the far end of the log, and a squirrel hopped across the trail right under my nose. The trees made a gentle whooshing noise, and the wind rustled through them, and everything stood still. I felt like God was sitting in that clearing right next to me. It was so beautiful. And in that one moment, at 49 years old, I finally accepted the gift of Sabbath time. Eventually, I had to get up and make my way back down the mountain. And I like to think I was a better retreat leader when I got back down to the people that I was working for. Being in creation does that for me. It reminds me so much of Sabbath. In fact, that is in the Bible where we first hear about Sabbath. Not in Exodus, but in Genesis. Genesis says, on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done, and God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. Sabbath is a gift for us from God. It is consecrated and holy time set aside from the work of creating and doing. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus' actions tell us even more about what the purpose of Sabbath is. On that Sabbath day, Jesus and his disciples were on their own path walking. They were in the middle of fields of grain, and they must have gotten hungry because as they were making their way across, they began to pluck the seed heads off of the grain and eat them. The Pharisees were there, and they were watching. They immediately complained to Jesus about his followers. It isn't clear what the Pharisees had been doing themselves in that space on that day, other than watching what other people were up to. In that Sabbath moment, the Pharisees saw lawbreakers. But Jesus, in that Sabbath moment, saw hungry people who needed to be fed. The next scene in the gospel reading is inside a holy place, synagogue. Everyone in that place sees the man with the withered hand, but only Jesus realizes what this means for that man. Imagine that agrarian economy and a man with only one good hand. He wouldn't have been able to farm. He couldn't have been a carpenter. He couldn't have built anything. He couldn't have gone fishing. He might not have been able to provide for himself at all, let alone his family, if he had one. He was what we would call in these days an at-risk individual. And Jesus saw that in him. Jesus recognized someone in need and acted with compassion. The Pharisees complained that these activities were outside what was allowable on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew that they were actually the heart of the Sabbath. When Jesus asked the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save or to kill?" He was calling them out on their hard-heartedness. Because even then they knew, Sabbath rules can always be broken if you are acting to save a life. They knew that. Jesus knew that his opponents weren't looking for places where they could save or give life. They were looking for an excuse to do him harm. Their vision of life was clouded by their own fear and jealousy of Jesus. And Jesus grieved for them and their hard hearts. We're reminded in this story, we're supposed to be reminded, that this is the same kind of hard-heartedness that Pharaoh showed for the Israelites when God was trying to free them from being slaves in Egypt. Pharaoh's hard-heartedness ultimately led to death for the Egyptian firstborn. And Jesus, in our gospel today, grieves because the very people who are arguing over the purpose of Sabbath are experiencing the opposite thing of what Sabbath is trying to do. Sabbath time should lead to compassion and justice and life-giving. Now, I will be the first one to say that I do not think modern life values the Sabbath very much. It values business. It values busyness and doing and accomplishments and what you can write on your CV. We all charge along on our own paths with frantic determination, often not lifting up our heads to get our bearings or look around us. When, for example, we decide that it's a good plan to deter illegal immigration by terrorizing families that have crossed the border. separating children from their parents. We have lost our moral compass. It is time, when we do that, to take a step back. We need to realize that rather than being freed by God from slavery to Pharaoh, perhaps we ourselves have become like Pharaoh. Our hearts are hardened, and Jesus grieves. Sabbath is a gift for us. Sabbath is about stepping into a spiritual clearing and reorienting ourselves to God. Sabbath rest is about renewal for those who are tired, healing for those who are withered, and opening our eyes to people we see as other. God made the Sabbath holy and sanctified for all humankind. Whether we are children of the household, or slaves, or resident aliens, Sabbath time is sanctified. It's set apart so that we can take a moment and remember who we are. When we observe the Sabbath, it is an act, holy, blessed, set apart in consecrated time. Our hearts soften and find their true north in Christ. When the first day of the week comes around again, we will then be prepared. We will be prepared to show Jesus' love in the world. We can recognize and feed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. May we use Sabbath and find ourselves willing to be guided by the God who frees us from slavery and oppression, the same God who redeemed us in Jesus Christ, the true Lord of the Sabbath. Amen.